Salam alaikum. This is your beloved brother Malaz Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio, coming to you at 7 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday evening. It gives me great privilege, and surely I'm highly honored to do so. I do take time out of my busy schedule to be able to enlighten those who tune in on me. I've been on the radio going on 7 years now. And I went viral not once, not twice, but 3 times. And when you hit viral, you're talking about millions of people. You don't know. They never tell you how many millions, but viral means at least 1 million. And I was very honored to do that because my makeup and my ability to perform in society was never supposed to be the radio. I used to hire radio stations to come in the sport of boxing. A lot of them were slow. A lot of them didn't understand, but I had 500 stations that I used to talk with and ask them to be involved in the network. It's ABC, NBC, CBS, HBO, USA, Showtime, ESPN, pay-per-view. And I mastered the game because I learned one thing, ratings. If you don't have the ratings, they'll kick you off. Even the Empire is getting ready to leave because the ratings are going down. They are not in the sport business. They don't care anything about the individual. But if you ask that, they'll keep you. And I've been with them for close to 40 years. And I was able to walk into those networks with the idea that I knew and I had what they needed. And so I became a phenomenal and ABC. Bob Iger, who is now the CEO of Walt Disney, I used to help him become vice president. I told him he was going to be president, but he felt he wasn't. And when he called me and told me he got to be vice president, I was elated. Then he called me and said, I'm president. And I said, I told you, but I never thought he would be the CEO of Walt Disney. I called him today. A lot of them should understand what's going on in the world today. Sitting, I talked to my brothers and sisters in Al-Islam, and a lot of people ask me questions why I created this merger. Those who's on conference call can question me. Those who on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, when I speak, they can't question me. They can only listen. When I ran my shows for 7 years, I did it just like Juma. You can't interrupt Juma. And I didn't want no interruption because I had a lot to tell the people out there in radio land. My job was TV. If you're not on TV, you got a major problem. This is why McDonald's and Burger King and Kentucky Fried Chicken, they're called subliminal seduction. They come through the conscious and get to the subconscious, and you wake up and say, oh, I want Burger King today, or your children. Oh, mommy, daddy, can I have Burger King? Because why? It comes over the air. It comes over the air. It comes over the air. So TV is the key, and I want to have the key. Why not? We in Islam, we make a prayer that the Prophet Muhammad prayers, peace upon gave to the Jews and the Christians, who said, can you leave us a prayer that we wouldn't harm our religion? And it was simple, oh Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as thou did bless Abraham and the followers of Abraham. But it didn't say just bless, because we all want to be blessed, but the prayer goes on, and we say, oh Allah, make Muhammad successful and the followers of Muhammad successful. And we all are the followers of Muhammad that's in Al-Islam. Successful as thou did make Abraham and the followers of Abraham successful. So don't fault me that I got it. I went to the Jews. I went to the Christians. Why? They are successful. They are successful. They got revelation before we did. And the Jews was able to dominate. That's why Jesus had to come. Jesus had to come because they kept it for themselves. That's why they own everything. That's why they master everything. That's why they went to school and study. And law is their number one. You can't go nowhere in this country if you ain't honoring the law. So you got law enforcers, as we now have a problem with, and that's the police officers. I can't knock them because everybody is not corrupted. But it's the minority that dominates because they get all the publicity. That's why the president of the United States is the president of the United States. But he say things out of his mouth that cause ratings. So Hillary, they didn't care about who else was running. But Trump, whoa, he's a controversy. So all the cameras was on him, all the cameras are shooting, all the cameras are coming around. And to the point he said, I'm not even going to give you a press conference unless you pay me. They was paying him. Why? They were making millions. But they had no idea they were going to put him in office. They made him a superstar. That's what happened. You become a star when people are watching you. You become an asset when you got a 50 rating. That's 50 million people watching you on TV. So the Cosby Show was large. The Oprah Show was large. All these shows became large because they had ratings, but when the ratings drop, they get rid of you. They find something else. So I learned that, that I'm going to go to the Jews because they control ABC, NBC, CBS, HBO, Showtime. I can't go to my brothers. So Allah says, work in this world as if it's no beginning, but no neglect your hereafter. Get a piece of this dunya. This is all in the Quran. You have to get a piece of the dunya. But if you ain't part of the system, you can't do it. The difference in me, I didn't follow their rules. I broke all rules. My rules was God is great. And don't tell me what I can't do because you're not God. I believe in my heart. And being a student of Imam Wahid Muhammad, my studying under Imam Wahid Muhammad personally, I do not know where he lived. They said Chicago. They said Arizona. They named a lot of places. I've never been to his house. But he always came and found me to teach me, keep doing what you're doing. Go to humanity and then come back and get him. To humanity. And I became a phenomenon, known in 200 foreign countries, 6 continents. I'm in every newspaper throughout this country. And all they do is put in my name. Google, Yahoo, how about Wikipedia? My granddaughter said, Grandpa, you're so famous. You're famous, Grandpa. I said, you know I'm famous. I found you in the Wikipedia. I said, well, you know about the Wikipedia. They teach us this in school. Isn't that amazing? So this, maybe Allah gave it to me so I can give it to my grandchildren and they can springboard off what I've done in the world. But today, we got COVID-19. Isn't that something? That was made up in the lab, the sick on us because they don't want us to multiply. But they plan, God plans, and God is the best of planners. And I knew, because you can't make it in this society if you got no morals. You can't make it in this society if you're a liar, a cheater, or a con artist. You can't make it in this society if you're a dictator. Oh, that's not accepted by God. You got to humble yourself. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers, peace, fathers, they didn't know none of this. But yet they call him Alameen, trustworthy. They gave him so many names because of his kindness. He was humble. So the Jews loved him, the Christians loved him, and the Hindus loved him. Oh, did they not love him? But he was unlettered, so he knew nothing about revelation. He was acting in his nature. Our nature is Muslim. So if our nature is Muslim, what about our Christians? Their nature is Muslim. What about the Jews? Their nature is Muslim. What about the Hindus? Their nature is Muslim. What about the Ku Klux Klan? Their nature is Muslim. Now, you have a right to use that intellectual mind, that little thing that sits on that big body, and you big-headed, and you can be whatever you want to be. You want to be a woman, knowing that you are a man, you so be it. You want to be a man and know you're a woman, so be it. You want to be a drug pusher, a dope addict, so be it. You have a right. Why? Because God says that my angels got to respect. My angel have to do what I will them to do. So they got a job. You and I got a responsibility. We must make a decision. You know, I sat in front of a sheikh, and I wouldn't have said nothing to him, but he was dicking Allahu Akbar with his beads. I didn't say nothing. He sat again. It was about 30 of imams sitting there, and he's dickering, and I said to him, I said, "Brother Imam, do you know that came from Christianity?" And he looked at me. And I said, "It's not haram that you use it, but God gave us a built-in mechanism. It's called our fingers, our five fingers. Allah needs nothing from man, so he don't use anything that you may use that you attach it with him, the Lord of all the world, the system of all knowledge." So I said, "Dhikr Allahu Akbar on your fingers." But that thumb is important. That thumb is a ruler. Oh, you don't think so? Go back in the gladiators. And when they're fighting and the one guy wins, he looks up to Pharaoh and say, "Should I kill him?" Pharaoh don't give him the answer. He turns to the community. Live or die. Two thumbs up, you live. Down, you die. If that community say, "Kill, kill, kill," you got to kill them or they'll kill you. If it says, "Live, live," then Pharaoh has to say they live. So that thumb is important. But Allah says, you don't need to spell out 99 attributes. Only need three. Fa'alallah, alhamdulillah, Allah, Akbar, 33 times and you got it. See how simple the Allah gives us? We make it difficult. But that thumb rules. Why? Because you can't dicker without that thumb. And that's the fifth finger. However, that represents your five senses, because after you dicker Allahu Akbar, you got to do just like the Romans. Live or die. And that's the decision you got to make after you do your dicker Allahu Akbar. So when you understand these little simple things, your life is better. So the key to success is don't do it for yourself. Because if you do it for yourself, Allah only gives you one for one. One day with your Lord is 1,000 years. How could you lose with the stuff you use? So anything that's correct, anything that's right, Allah says it will be manifest. All you got to do is work for it. First come difficulty, then come ease. You got to work for it. You got to work for it. You got to work for it. And if you really believe, Murad, if you really believe that you want millions of people to hear the truth, but you die trying, Allah rewards you for your good intention. For when you come to God and you understand he's in charge, he's closer to you than your jugular vein, why you need another man to tell you who God is, and he's close to you than your own jugular vein? Do you talk to it? You don't. But you can't put nothing physical attached to him. Because if you do that, then you say that God needed man. He said, "I need nothing from man." And so I decide that I'm not going to speak for 2 hours, and I'm not going to things for another 2 hours. But I'm going to give it an hour and a half. Now, my radio show, they go 2 hours, and they sometimes be humble enough that I try to get off the radio when it's time to make salat. But keep in mind, if I don't make salat on time, you will be able to make your salat better, because why? I'm giving you the Quran. So that is prayer. So if you're speaking about God, that's prayer. So the Prophet Muhammad, prayer, peace, power, said you can make up prayer. But these audiences ain't going to wait for you. So you got them, you're supposed to teach. You got them, you plant the seed. Now you can't make anyone to do anything. But my God, my intention is to give back that which God has given me to learn and conquer the world. I call it that because I'm born in a project with one mama and four siblings. And we couldn't eat on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We had to wait mama come home. But on Sunday, my God, it was Thanksgiving. I wouldn't change it for nothing in the world. My siblings, I love. My sister, she was my twin. I was a year older than her, but she loved her brother. I can talk about that because I'm doing my movie, and I'm talking about how I broke all the rules. I don't follow Robert rules. He ain't made no rules for us. And that's what's happening today. We think we're going to change these police officers. They was trained in boot camp how to kill the black man and the woman. And then they're in the lab trying to kill you. The number one killer that y'all not going to realize is reefer. That's why they made it legal. It's going to mess up the brain of your children. It's going to mess up the brains of your husband. Anybody that smoked that reefer and think it's reefer, you out your mind. This is what they do to us. But we survive. We survive over 100 years. In slavery, over 100 years, nobody on the face of the planet went through what our ancestors went through. So God says, you think you're going to take a group of my human beings and make them three-fifths of a human being? Well, watch what I do. Now, it took over 400 years. It took over 400 years. But all of them that suffered went to paradise. We're trying to get there. But our ancestors begged God, I'll suffer, but take care of my offspring. And look at us today. We all believe in God, spite of what they try to do to us. Oh, they hung us, castrated us, raped our mothers, our sisters, our little sisters. They did the despicable to us. And today, we ain't trying to kill nobody. We don't even have that in our mind to destroy nobody. All we want to do is manifest what God has created us to do. That's the excellence that's in the human being. But the people that's coming against you believe you're going to grow up and you're going to do the same thing to them because we outnumber them. That's the hell they're going through right now while they flick pain on women and men and little children, what they're doing right now. They're so angry that they come in mobs. So you're going to tell on one, you're going to tell on the 100 that beat the hell out of you. And we still got 10 murders in a few days. So it's going to continue because everyone make a sacrifice. Dr. King said, I'm going to get to the mountaintop. And I've seen the glory of the promised land, but I may not get there. Well, what do you mean? He means his son might get there, his children might get there, his grandchildren will get to the promised land, but he's going to work hard, and he lost his life preaching like that. It's over. The Honorable Muhammad got sick up day and night teaching us. He's gone. Malcolm X, by the Honorable Muhammad. Anything you hear Malcolm say, that came from the Honorable Muhammad. But when Malcolm went on his own, it's like a herd of cattle running. No hyena, no tiger, no lion going to get into that herd because they're trampling. But as soon as one goes straight, they will kill you. Nobody likes an individual. We must be a community, and we're taught that we're a community. So you're supposed to love your Christians because they are Muslims in their nature, and the difference from Muslims and religion, you got to get it together because religion didn't come to us till after 1,400 years ago, as far as we was in El Islam. And don't talk about Christianity. You talk about a few thousand years. And likewise with Judaism. However, what did they do before? Well, there was revelation before. It just wasn't written, but it was in your nature. It's in your nature, brothers and sisters. And so today, for Dr. King, Naam Elijah Muhammad, and Malcolm, Mr. Farrakhan, for all of us that's trying to help and put us on one side, Allah don't need the numbers. He needed one person, George Floyd. And because of George Floyd, Allah has given us the whole world. The whole world that don't look like us, in Venezuela and in Mexico and England and France and Germany, they're saying Black Lives Matter. Never happened. Don't tell me that's not individual. That's the will of God. And so tonight, I'm going to be questioned. And I don't mind. But I do a lot of study. I do a lot of reading. I have a hard drive. You know, like the computer, they copy off our brain. They got a hard drive, too. You put everything in that hard drive, and when you want it, you pull the hard drive up, and now you can read what you 10 years ago. But the difference from that computer, the computer that God created, when you pour water, just plain water, on that computer, you can't work it anymore. And some of it you got to give away because you flooded it. But if you pour water on God's computer, it evolves. Because water is knowledge. And so I say, Bismillah. When I say Bismillah, Allah brings it up and say, okay, this is what you're going to say. So I don't need a piece of paper. I don't need no format to be able to talk. All you got to do is give back what you read in the Injil. Everybody thinks the Bible is taboo. Oh, you got a major problem. The Bible is correct. It's you don't know or understand the Bible. For the Bible is the only book that's closer to the Holy Quran. It came from Genesis to what? Revelation. Here comes the Quran. What did it begin with? Revelation. Why is that? A coincidence? No, it's an extension of God's will. Now, the only difference from the Quran, I'll give it to you a little clearer, but it's the same stories. We don't read the New Testament because man tampered with the Old Testament. They was in their right mind. These are the things that I teach for 7 years, and why I have my Jehovah Witness, 7-day adventures, and the rabbis that listen to me, and my Christian brothers and sisters. Because you remember what Sheikh Muhammad said, I asked the question, why you always say I'm in paradise? He said, Murad, when you read all of Revelation, you're in paradise. So we say with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the Lord of all the worlds, the Lord of all system of knowledge, the one who created the heavens and the earth and everything between it. He has no partners, no associates. He has no children. And we thank him for giving to us the messenger of God, the seal of the prophet. And when we give him the excellent salute, we're shooting Moses, Jesus, Abraham, Lot. We're shooting all but them one. May the peace and blessing be upon the prophet, because he could not exist if all the prophets was not in him. That's why it comes in moderation. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sa'ata wa salam, wa sa'asu alayhi kareem. We like to say these things because as God governs my tongue, maybe I'll be able to say the right things. So I'm going to take upon myself and start these questions. I enjoy it. This is my third time doing it, and it's worked out real well. I have fun because you'll ask me sometimes the damnest questions, but I ask Allah to govern my tongue. And so far, everybody's been very, very elated that I was able to do so. So I'm going to take the youngest one out of all of us to be the first one to ask questions. And this young one is 97 years old. And I brought all the brothers from the masjid, Dr. Hassan, Najir Kareem, and that masjid, Abdullah Najir Kareem Hassan, the name of the masjid. And we took all the believers to the church. And my God, coming home. And we became one. We merged. And we said, from now on, we're going to move collectively. That's before all this happened. This has always been my dream, to bring the Jews and the Christians as one Ummah. Because collectively, we're powerful. So we got now 5 million. That's a lot of people. But look how merciful it is. We need 5 million tomorrow. You say, how much you want me to give, Murad? $1. Here it is. What are you going to do with $1? It's 5 million of us. How about $10? You got $10. So this is what God is saying. If we work together, we don't have to worry about no economics. We don't have to worry about not being able to build our own beautiful home instead of buying somebody's old home. We can build our own. We can build our own skyscrapers. Collectively, individually, you cannot do it. Her name is Reverend Green, but she has a daughter. If you ever met them too, oh, did she love her mama? And she'd be right there when she's preaching from that Bible. And sometimes she's a sister. And I watched this. I watched the unity of the choir. I watched the unity of the men and women. And one thing Mama said, if you ain't connected, then you don't know who God is. And that means the spirit. The spirit. Spirit is important. Everything was dead, brothers and sisters. Everything in this creation, from the jinn to the angels, from the moon, the sun, the stars, for the animals, for the birds, the bees, the sun, the moon, the star was dead. God brought it to life. Don't let nobody tell you that the human being was dead. No, that earth is dead, that you look at, you know, that real estate that you look at every day, that's your real estate. But it was dead. But God said, wait till I breathe into it, my spirit. Make such. So we come here live. We're the spirit of God. That's why you hear Ms. Farrakhan, men say, hey, God, and you get messed up. But they understand that God's spirit is who we are. So Mama, she says in her church, if you ain't hooked up, you ain't got it. So if you ain't in touch with your spirit, you don't have it. Lil, are you there, Lil? Lil, I'll take your phone off of mute. If you're there, that's her daughter and my sister. She's on the phone. She will tell you one of the greatest aunts we had, her name was Lil. So if you're on the phone, Lil, you can ask me 2 questions. Are you there? Going once. Going 2. You hit *6 to put it on mute. You hit *6 to come off it. Okay, on the air, or I'm skipping over you, just acknowledge, I don't mind you interrupt and acknowledge that you are on the air. But we have another young lady. And this young lady, I love, they call me Uncle Moran. Mm-hmm. But her father and I ran a lot of business. It was he who told me to buy that building. It was he who told me, let's go get some trucks and put them on the road. It was he that said, let's do this, let's do that. And we created a corporation called Cornerstone. Mm-hmm. And it was very successful in Cornerstone, but I sprung from there because I didn't want nothing but my name. And I didn't want no one to tell me what I cannot do or what I have to do. All my life, I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I walked out of the Cornerstone broke. No money, no nothing. The only one came out was Baja. I said, where you going? He said, I'm with you. I said, well, we don't have no money. We got to start over. We left all the money there with Cornerstone. We went down the elevator, and I said, Bismillah. He said, what you talking about? I said, we're going back up. So we went up to the 23rd floor, and I walked in, and I said, who's the boss here? Make a long story, he wrote a check for $50,000, and that's how we created Triangle. That's what I do. And I want to call them and thank them because they're in my movie. That's a true story. That's how we end up in Africa. And when we land in Africa to get them to put up money to so Ali can fight Kenny Norton, number three, I got all that signed. Jerry Eisenberg wrote in the papers that why Don King couldn't get the green light, can't produce the green money, why Bob Arum couldn't get the IRAs off their all and couldn't produce the green money. There's a young man in Africa named Rob Muhammad with $14 million. Yeah, Ghana gave me $14 million. That's what I do. I don't ask broke people for money. I go to millionaires. Only thing beats a failure is a try. Salima, are you there, beautiful? The oldest son.
Assalamu alaikum.
Well, Assalam, dear. How are you?
I am most excellent, and I am absolutely honored to be a part of your community audience.
Alhamdulillah. She's a nurse. She's so modest. All Abdullah's kids are educated. And he was educated. So the whole family, all nine of them, all ten of them are very educated. What's your question, dear?
First question, regarding systemic racism, what is your position on police departments in the nation being defunded or disbanded? The second question, if police departments are disbanded or defunded, how should these funds be reallocated to the community?
Well, I'm going to ask the latter part because I am a senior, and that sticks in my mind. You may have to repeat the first one when I finish the second one. You are not going to change these police officers. Is embedded in them. They was taught to be a devil. And allow me to tell you all that y'all don't know. But if you go on YouTube and look up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in 1963, a letter was written to him. And he couldn't understand why they wrote this letter. He asked John Ali, the national secretary, who, if you watch the Malcolm X movie, confessed he was a federal agent. But the Honorable Muhammad used to say that, a bunch of hypocrites with me, but that's all I can deal with. So they came to spy on him, rightfully so, because they got to know what we were doing. And he was our national secretary. I knew him very well because we were doing 56 news in Muhammad Speaks. That was the quota to be on the crack team. He said, all of you, it was 10,000 of us in Chicago. He said, all your crack soldiers come to my right. It was 3,000 that moved to his right. And he said, you in the army of Muhammad? Yes, sir. You soldier for Muhammad? Yes, sir. You love the army of Muhammad? Yes, sir. Now the quota is 300. And that's why I'll never forget him. He doubled the quota on us. Well, he did it. Nevertheless, he said, read this letter, John. And he kept skipping. He said, stop skipping. Now, I'm going to tell you exactly what that letter said. it says, to all y'all of the police department, I am the biggest Ku Klux Klan in America. If you would get us out of these white sheets and put us in those blue uniforms, we can kill a whole lot of niggas. And then he went on to say, don't worry about Dr. King. We got that nigga. And don't worry about Jesse Jackson. We got that nigga. This is in 63. He said, but those black Muslims, those are the ones that's going to kill us because they don't care about us. So Dominic Lana said, I don't know why they sent me this letter. I'm not in the police department. Now, that was back then. So they've been killing us since then, all the way today. And the only reason that the devil, he has no more shame. So those phones are catching. I saw a Caucasian woman, just think about it, a Caucasian woman. Her husband said, get back in this car, give me this. He said, shut the hell up. You stay with the children. I'm going to film this. And that's how one of them got busted, because they was beating the hell out of a female, black woman. So today, the march is not just us marching on Washington. The march is around the world saying black lives matter. So they are reverting back to their ancestors. So we cannot change them, Salima. Department, again, Allah, they plot and plan. God is the best of planners. So I'm going to leave you with this on that first one. I mean, the last one. When Muhammad the Prophet went into the battle for the last war, last battle for the war, they was outnumbered 100-1. That's enough to scare anybody. But Allah sent the angel to Muhammad and said, tell your men in you that I am near. And he won the war because Allah's earth answers to him. Ain't nobody going to tear up Allah's earth. And only he gives life and only he gives death. But some of us got to go through trials and error because this is a temporary world. And he doesn't place a burden on the soul that can't withstand. I ain't never been in prison and don't want to go. But put a gun in my head and I'll tell you to shoot it, I'll die. It's time for me to leave here. I don't fear that. But put a gun to my wife's head, to my daughter's head, my granddaughter, I'll bathe. Oh, what I'll bathe. I'll crawl. I'll do anything. But don't kill my loved ones. And that's life. So is they going to get away? No. A lot's going to happen because they got them in the pocket. Universities, everybody's pulling their money away from these men that was operating with billions. And that's what's going to take them down, because the community around the world is coming together, and the community is everything. You got imams thinking that they in charge. No, brother, you give Juma, when you step down, you just on the same ground zero that we are on. There's no big eyes, no little you, and there's no dictators in Islam. We are one community, and who can win the war, the Prophet used to say. Can you do it, Abu Bakr? How about you, Ali? How about whoever could do it, that's the one he would choose. He never picked himself to do nothing, because God blesses who he pleases when he pleases. I hope that I answered your question the best of my ability. What was the first one?
First question was, what is your position on police departments and the nation being defunded?
That's the key. They all taking the money away from them because education is being neglected. Teaching our children, giving them a platform of learning. They took it away. They giving the police department billions with a B. Billions. And they just woke up and said, this is ridiculous. Because that chokehold and that knee in the was taught by the brothers in Israel. They go to Israel, and they learn all these things, how to get that big buck. And I'm being modest. That big black man, how to take him down. And that's what I learned as a martial art. You can't put muscles in the nerves. Anything that doesn't have a muscle is weak. And so they learn how to take big men down, and they're killing them. They don't care because they kill them over there. The Palestinians is catching more hell than we catching. They live in the dark. They don't have running water. So these things happen. So, again, we have to trust in God. We have to trust in God. We have to know that God is in charge and not a leaf falls from the tree without his will. So he's going to protect his human beings. But he created the angels and said, your job is to help protect these human beings. He created the jinn and said, it's your job to protect the human beings. And some jinn went with the real jinn, Iblis. But Allah says in the Quran, there is a group of jinns that heard a beautiful recital, and no man nor jinn should ignore that recital. So the jinn helps us. We have help. All we got to do is call on Allah and do the right thing. And I believe that if I had my way, I would dress every young man in a suit, a sports jacket. Why? Because I used to tell my sons, I got 9 of them, I said, if you wear a hoodie, you're going to get treated like a hoodie. If you wear tattoos, they're going to treat you like one with a tattoo. If you ever walk into the airport with a sports jacket or a suit, they don't bother you. You represent something. So that's what the Honorable Muhammad told us. Step fast right down to the modern day time, but we wore bow ties and ties, and you didn't know whether we was a doctor or a lawyer. You didn't know if we was rich, and sometimes we didn't have a dollar in our pocket. But your image is everything. So I have my children to come out of those clothes until all this is over with, so they don't fall victim when they walk out. Same way with the sisters. When they was trying to beat up on our sisters, Imam said, dress down. You don't need that headpiece. Who told you you have to wear it? Dress down. This is war. This is war out there. So you blend in. You blend in your nature. Your nature. God knows your nature. It's just like making voodoo. Some people take all that water and put it on him. So you was dirty before you came, brother. You dirty now. That water don't clean you. But if you know your body is clean, you can take your hand 3 times on your arm, 3 times on your head, and you can and act like you put it on your feet, and Allah knows it. He accepts your prayer. So why? You're clean. That's what cleanness means. Good questions. I thank you for asking. I hope I at least gave you some enlightening on what you was talking about. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Salima. There is a gentleman out there, and I don't want to forget the gentleman, but his name is Shaheed Shaheed. Shaheed, are you there? Shaheed? He's a producer. Apparently he can't hear me, or he's not taking his home offer. Going once, going twice, 3 times. Well, I'm going to ask another young lady. I call her mama. Over her one time because I didn't call her out. If I don't see it, I won't call it. Zakia, are you there? Zakia? Now, I know Zakia was there, you would hear her mouth quickly. She would jump quickly if she was there. So if she comes, some people come in late. But here's a young lady that she had to tell everybody she was my daughter because they thought she was my daughter. And I said, by all means, I will protect you. You're my daughter. Mahasan, are you there, Mahasan?
Salaam alaikum.
Salaam, Mahasan. Brothers and sisters. Her mama was my wife for over 30-some years. And I have to say this. When I met her, she was working for Consumer Affairs, and she was doing very well. And I said to her, I like you. She said, young man, you don't know what you're getting yourself into. I said, what is that? I got 6 children. I said, I don't care if you got 7. Oh, but we're going to the world. And my God, day and night, night and day, and I became one of the largest boxing promoters in the world because of her. And she decided to join the formal commissioner and create their own sanctioned body called the IBF. And I have to honestly tell you, there's only 2 Muhammads that shocked the world, Muhammad Ali, Murad Muhammad. I said, no, there's a 3rd one. And she became the president of one of the largest sanctioned bodies in the world, called the IBF. For my husband, it all worked. My husband was the one that flew all over the world. Everybody loved my husband. But my husband was tough, but she was fair. And one day, they wanted to get rid of her because of how she was so tough. And everybody sent letters in saying, you get rid of my husband, we ain't coming back to the IBF. Oh, boy, do we got some history. Yes, my dear. I understand you got 2 questions. I'm willing to answer them if I can.
Well, I was, years ago, early 70s, the young children, we were never afraid of the police officers. They were like part of the neighborhood. Moving forward to today, children are afraid. And my question is, how do we get the African American community to regain its trust in the police in the neighborhoods? How do, if we can?
You gotta understand, and let's take Newark, because Newark stands out. Newark was off the hook. Bank robbers, pimps, hustlers. But back then, we didn't kill each other. We'll whoop your ass, said, but we didn't kill each other. Now it's black on black crime, but you don't understand that the black man can't kill no one unless he gets high. So that's why they put drugs in the community so you would kill each other, because drugs mess your mind up. 3 boys that killed those innocent children behind that school, like gangster style. They was in the prison. The Muslim, like Saladin, was over top of them. And they asked them a simple question. What made you do that? And they gave him a simple answer. I was high. And they knew that. So the first thing needs to be done. It's the reason the Caucasians come in our neighborhood, because they can't make money in their neighborhood because there's not too much crime. They come in here like they're in Vietnam. They're guerrillas. And they mistreat our children paid well. But it seems like we should govern our own city. So I'm going to give you a great example. When Saladin became over the police department, the fire department, Homeland Security, and the youth, and property maintenance, code enforcement, it was the strongest black man ever. So we brought all the Muslim men, all of the brothers that grew up into the police department, because you got to join them. And he shut down prostitution. He shut down them cheating on Bluefield Avenue when they was going and playing slot machines and it was fixed. Pawn shot, they can steal your wallet, and you're a female, and they can still pawn it. He shut that down. I can go on and on and on and on. He did a wonderful job. So 80% high went down to 40%. That is a no-no because crime is money. So they didn't like it, but they feared him because he was not only a sheriff with a pistol. A lot of the sheriffs love him because they say he does all the dirty jobs. He's the first one in and last one out. But I had he called me to be the imam along with all these men of the cloth. And when I got up, I said, I'm not here to pray, but I thank you all for having a sermon for a man that's in a coma. He's not dead, so we can pray for him. So I'm not going to pray all these Christians and Jews and men of the cloth, women of the cloth would do the praying. I said, let me tell you about this black man in the police department. Let me tell you about those ones you call black Muslims. I said, we brought the bulletproof vests for the state troopers, but Governor Burns didn't have the money. I said, we brought the money for the people, women who lost their husband in the line of duty. I said, we put money in the victim program. We rehabilitated all of these institutions, and I had exclusivity of rehabilitation. But tell me, officers, can bring all of them right here, and I guarantee you 99% never pulled their pistol in 25, 30 years. I guarantee you with that rough, tough North, none of them shot anybody. I said, that's who we are. And when I got finished, I got so many suits. These were all white boys. They sued me. They said, good job, well done. I got outside all the motorcycles. Man got off their motorcycle and sued me and said, this is great because they don't know us. We are the best of the best because we don't fear them. They talk a different language. They act a different way. But they are fearful. They are scared. They're only there for the money. They don't have the heart. So they want to put fear in you. And the black man ain't going to let you put fear all the time. So they justify why they pull the gun and shoot you and kill you. So we have changed this. Mark is dominated by African Americans. Why we got all these white boys in our city? It's got to stop. That's one way. Another way, there's more good cops. There's one guy on the internet, and he used these words, my soul won't let me do this no more. I thought it was a few of the white police officers around the country. It's a great deal of them. He said, we cannot mistreat. We're against the Constitution. The Constitution says we serve them. No, you act like they serve us. He said, I'm going to lose my job for this. So his officer, superior officer, called him and said, take that down. He said, I got 40,000. He came back 4 days later and said, I told you to take it down. He said, I got 5 million. So he said, well, you're going to lose your job. He said, I got 2 girls, a wife, and 2 homes. If I'm going to sacrifice my house to prove that we cannot abuse these African Americans anymore. This came from a Caucasian. Once again, you heard me say, of the human being. And if you don't come back to that nature, then you're going to be obesity, you're going to be a devil. You're not going to care about your neighbor. That happens in the world. So hopefully I answered your question. What's your number two question?
My number two question is on a different page. I was just wondering, again, in the 70s, the Muslim brothers used to roll up on the corners in their deuce and a quarters and Cadillacs. And they used to get the young guys off the corners. If they were standing on the street corners and had nothing to do, they would snatch them up off the streets and take them to the mosque. They took them up under their wing, and it helped the neighborhood. I know some of those same guys that were snatched up by some of those brothers are doing great, and Muslim brothers and just doing great for themselves now. Whatever happened to that? Why is that no more? Why don't I see that in the neighborhood in Newark that's much needed?
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and sometimes people get upset that if you don't give credit where credit's due, you won't get no more. Because no man came into America was more powerful than the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He was Simon Says. That's why the federal government was protecting him. Because if you take a shot at him, whether you miss, he will pay severely. And J. Edgar Hoover did not want that to happen. He taught us under likes attract and like repels. So you can go and talk to your sisters and you look just like them, but they'll rebel. But send one with look half white and half black, whoa, down there like that. So that's what happened. What happened is these brothers start getting taught by foreigners, as if they mean us any good. And they got them understanding you don't have to go out no more. If they don't come, to hell with them. Now, they don't say that consciously, unconsciously, because we are suffering from what? We are separated. I can name you when we was young and you was a little girl, but when we was young, we had the Aztecs, the Commodores, and everyone had their own territory. And if you come on that territory, most of the time, you are not coming back to walk right. Because they will whoop you. They ain't kill you. They will beat you up. And so it becomes territories now. You got Springfield. You got Bourbon Street. You got Clinton Avenue. You got this street, that street. And they don't even come together to do nothing. Why? It's because their ego, they won't knock a door. I give thanks to him, man. He said, I can call me, ma'am, Minister Farrakhan. Them brothers still knocked the door. But when it was all of us, because that man who used to be a pimp and a hustler or a drug dealer, that man that didn't care about women, all of a sudden did a 360. All of a sudden was upright. Take care of his wife, married, children. Whoa, that the females come. And that's why they accepted Islam, because they want to be a part of someone who cared about them. That's not happening. And that's why our children are left behind. Because I packed that school stadium. When I say I mean we, Essex County, Union County, and made it look like there's that Six Flags. We fed everybody. Everybody had fun. We had Christians there. We had Jews there. We had everybody, 22,000 in Way Acres Park, 100,000 in Giant Stadium. This is what we can do. But when you look around, you don't see your brother. You see people who understand progress. We have to evolve. That's what we have to do, evolve, so we can create. If I had my way, I would build the most gorgeous places for our children to go. You want to play basketball? You want to play soccer? You want to play handball? You want to play tennis? You got to get past these teachers. We want to see your homework. We want to see your homework, and then you can go in there and play all you want. These children, but you can't make it as this guarantee that they're going to come and listen to you. You got to make it fun. I made it fun for my children. All them nice men and girls, they had to get their allowance. You want to be the banker so you can tell them what you can give them all week? Yeah, bring me see your essay. Let me see what you wrote for the encyclopedia. Let me see you wrote for your religion. And it worked. They were fighting over who's going to be the best. Got so we couldn't see who can write the best. So I went and got a podium and said, now you got to articulate. So they was articulate. Everybody want to be a boss. You got to make it fun. You got to make education fun and what it means and why you want to be educated, why you want to be. But we don't have that today. Our children need one-on-one. They don't need to be in a class with 40, 50 people because even I, when I was coming up, I ignore you. You don't reach me, I'm going to ignore you. Now I'll come home with all F's because I didn't care. I didn't think they could teach me until one day I met a black woman that act like my mama. Whoa, did I fall in love with her. And she said, I'm going to teach you. And my God, did she teach me. That was the eighth grade. That's when I started learning education because you got a mama, but when you go out there, there's nobody your mama. Every woman is a mama. Look what Jesus said, my husband. Jesus said, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you a gift, my mother. Everyone thought it was Virgin Mary. I'll leave you my mother, but I'm going to return. So everybody looking for Jesus to return. No, the mother is you. The mother is all the women that give birth to children. Someone coming out of that womb will be just like Jesus. And when they're just like Jesus, you got Dr. King, you got Dalai Muhammad, you got Nova Drew Ali, should I go on, Booker T. Washington. Yes. Malcolm X. They came out the womb. Minister Farrakhan today calls himself Jesus. Because we are Jesus. It's our nature. He got the same nature we have. So he said, I'm going to leave you and I'm going to come back. How is he going to come back? He can't come back. There's no flesh ever came back once it went into the grave. He means you're going to be the type of him. That's all it meant. And so, therefore, one will grow up out of the womb of some mother. But then it ain't always the physical womb, my husband. I just told you what your mother did with me. That wasn't physical. That wasn't physical. That was intellectual. Her intellect was able to drive me to create babies. She helped produce those babies that came to fruition. Same way with you. So women is important for some reason, the Islamic world, while they're all in trouble, they're the last one. They put that woman behind the door. Remember what I see Muhammad said, our women not going behind the door. They walk right next to us because we are half a man. Who is she, my other half? Well, you ain't got the other half. You are half a man. I don't care what you say because you're still alive and you're not getting to paradise if you don't marry. And marry is strong, but don't give this truth. Some people say, well, I'm with him because God says he's crowned upon divorce. I just told you God is not physical. You can handle that on your own. But when you take your intellectual mind away from the nature in which he created you, now he frowns upon you. You have to be married to your nature, your spirit. And those are the things that God is talking about. Hopefully I answered that question. I thank you. You know I love you.
Thank you. Love you more.
Brothers and sisters, we got a young man out there. He's my mentor. His name is Yusuf. We've known him as Joe, but he's Yusuf. Yusuf, you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, brother and sister, I'm going to tell you, this man, he taught me to get out of the bed because I love my wife at 16 years old. I wasn't getting out no bed. He said, hey, man, you better get out of that bed and let's go to work because we was entrepreneurs. And my wife said, I'll be here when you get back. And Joseph made sure he would pick me up. And, boy, we'd go out and make some money. We ain't never worked for nobody in our life. Go ahead, Yusuf. What you got? Two questions.
Yes. You mentioned Malcolm and you mentioned Martin Luther King.
Yes.
My question to you is, what year did Malcolm die and how old was Malcolm? One. Two, what year did Martin Luther King die and how old was Martin Luther King?
I have Achilles heel. If you ask any of my employees, I never call them employees, I call them assistants. I'm a mathematician. You can put all the numbers together and give me 100 numbers, and I can add it in my head before you do it on a machine. I can divide and subtract. I have doctors say, "My, they said 30% off." I said, "Simple. Round it to the nearest decimal. Take 3% and then just add 3. I always knew that. Taught my children. But I never hold numbers in my head. And the reason I never hold numbers in my head, because I used to ride with a number writer. And it used to puzzle me that this man can put all those numbers in his head. So I never played a number. If you ask me right now, what is my plate number? I can give you the letters, but I can't give you the number. If you ask me what's my phone, well, I don't call myself. So I have to look at it and tell you what the phone number is. Something about numbers I don't hold in my head. But I will say this. I will say this. Dr. King and the Honorable, Malcolm used to battle. They both was very articulate. Studied the dictionary in prison, so he was a master of the dictionary, and Dr. King was a doctor of education. So both of them used to battle because one used to talk about what he can do, and the other one used to talk that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said this, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said this, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that. So in that 60s, 64, 65, the reason why Dr. King was alive after Malcolm was Malcolm attacked all white folks, and they couldn't do nothing with him. Well, King didn't do that. King sat with the presidents of the United States. King sat with most people. But he was able to do what he had to do, but he had really permission. Kind of loved him. And two, I'll tell you why. But Malcolm called them devils. Malcolm went into their college, to some of the most outstanding colleges, because he was so articulate. But keep in mind, I saw a brother give a senator or governor a crown. Remember what I see Muhammad said? I don't know why he gave him that crown. They all got the crown. They all studied the crown. You got to understand, you got men coming out 1 year with Muhammad, Allahu Akbar, all the Islamic on their heads once a year. Those are the shriners. And they are in government. And so they teach them what God says. Now they have a right to accept or reject, and they use it for their own self-gratification. So Malcolm was protected, and I'm going to use these figures. He had 1 million strong behind him. You touch Malcolm, you will see repercussion. Unbelievable, like guerrilla warfare. So he was protected like the herd I'm telling you about. But he strayed away from the herd. When he strayed away from the herd and went against a man that they were protecting, named the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, they said, "You're going to have to shut him down because he's getting ready to go on his own and take it out of the black Muslims and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he's going to come big on his own." So they set him up. They broke the number one rule. We check everybody. Yusuf was the captain of the Muhammad speech, but if he had the key to the temple after we come from work, and we go home and get dressed and we go together to the temple, he opens up the door, he has to check me. And I have to check him. And you might say that's ridiculous, but the Honorable Muhammad said you could turn a devil overnight. So you don't let nobody in that temple unless you can check them out. Well, he didn't do that. He told them, no searching. Let them all in. And my God, did they come in there with some weapons. But you got to understand, that was a setup. Malcolm was killed from the balcony. So who killed Malcolm? The government. Why? Because he was a threat. He got to go. Now let's go fast forward. Dr. King, when he made that speech, he knew they was coming after. So I may not get there with you, but I saw the promised land. Well, hold that thought. Robert Kennedy, the president of the United States, made a big mistake because he had a warmonger as his vice president. And what they wanted was Vietnam. He went against Vietnam. They had to kill him. And they said that a sniper killed him. They locked him up. But they found out a CIA killed him because the bullet was too close. Oh, all of a sudden it's coming out. And so when they asked Eisenhower, they said to him, "Did you kill the president?" He should have not tried to stop Vietnam War, because when he became, Johnson, when Johnson came as just the vice president, he told the Viet Cong, "Get back, because I'm coming." He wasn't president yet. The president just died. He knew they were going to put him in the position because Vietnam was all about money. And we lost so many of us, died in a worthless war. Worthless war, just for their gratification. So that's how King, they got him because he started preaching don't go to the war. That's why they got him. Keep in mind, someone amongst King, convinced King to come out of his shelter and go outside, which you and I know we would have never did a minister like that, more or less the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So they went outside so those people across the other way can kill him. Well, they didn't kill him. Henrietta knows this before she died. A white woman went in there. They told her, "Get out." And it was all around Dr. King. And she heard them puff up slobber, and they spit on him. And then one took a pull and smothered him. That's how he died. So they killed everybody. They never touched the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Because why? He wasn't an individual. But what's your second question?
Well, I want to comment. I want to lead this with your listening audience, and also lead this with you. The Illuminati number is 666. Malcolm was killed 1965, and he was 39 years old. Most people don't know that. 1965, he was 39 years old. Martin Luther King was killed 1968. He was 39 years old. What a coincidence, which is no coincidence. The Illuminati, they deal with numbers, and the numbers, they take the numbers, turn them upside down. Now, if you take 96, you got 1965. You take the 9, turn it upside down. You got 6, then you got another 6. 39, you turn that upside down, you got 6. 666 for Malcolm, 666 for Martin Luther King. And this is what our people have to realize. We have to pay attention to the dates that you mentioned. My other question is, you mentioned John F. Kennedy. I'm going to ask you a question about what is the number one moneymaker in America? And what is number two moneymaker in America?
Well, I was taught by the experts the number one maker in America is gold. The number two is food. The number three is currency. That's what rules, the currency rules, the gold rules the people on high level. The food reads all the common people in America. You, me, everybody. That's what root. The second root, the third root is the currency of the whole world. The whole world, you sir. Those are the three that they go by. And we don't have gold. And we sure don't feed ourselves. And we don't have currency. So they made sure that we'll never touch currency. That's why we all broke. That's why we don't have a home. That's why they stole our home illegally. Took everybody. They got military men on skid row, and they go up to the military to sit. They made a new law, lock them up. So we went to war and fought, lost limbs, and come home, and we treated like animals because that's how they saw us. But I want to say this, and you said it. Let me tell you why I don't put my emphasis, because you go watch a movie called Eyes Wide Shut. That gives you everything you just said, what they do. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to say, if you knew their social life, you would run them from amongst you. They are freaks. They are freaks like freaks. Go watch it, because you got that great plane in there. I can't think of his name. Tom Cruise. He plays Eyes Wide Shut. That's the 666 you talking about. However, but in the Holy Quran, Allah doesn't count like that. In the Holy Quran, Allah says, one day with your Lord is 1,000 years. Wow. So he don't count like it. Allah says, when you go to Hajj, don't go by the clock that man created. Why? Because he don't need man. And that's why I say to the brothers that don't want to shake your right hand, I said, go to Hajj and go to the right. You dig it, because they will trample you. You're going the wrong way. So God doesn't use those numbers. Those are the numbers of Satan, and that's their code. Just like your Masons. Everything is secret. They don't tell you. They keep the knowledge for themselves, and they believe they grow. But here comes the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, yes, but you get to 33 degrees. Water freezes at 33 degrees. Meaning, you will never grow in the world because you froze. Allah can study from the cradle all the way to your grave. But you know, you said, I'm going to leave you with this. You come with some dynamite questions, man. That's what I love about you. Thank you. Let's go to the next one. And the next one out there, that I believe he, or see, well, let's go over before I get to him. We see Reverend Green, are you there? Please come on the phone. Lil, if you're listening. Okay. Is Ikea, if you're there, I don't want to pass you off. Well, I got one that's loyal to me. He listens to me all the time. He was a great, great fighter, and I'll tell you the story. Kareem, are you there? Kareem Ali? One more. Ali, are you there, Ali? My nephew.
Well,
hey, Sam. How are you, Ali? Ali is my nephew. Every time I told the kids I'm going to the mall, they didn't want to come. Ali jumps in the car. I said, I'm going to the grocery store. They didn't want to come. Ali jumps in the car. Then they get hot because anything I buy, I make sure Ali gets his too. So he would come back with shirts and pants and different things. And he had one over them. Them fools didn't know. Go with uncle, go with daddy. And you're going to benefit. And that's the way he grew up with the family. What do you want to ask me, Ali?
So I only have time for one question. Actually, I have to give my daughter a bath. But
okay.
So the question that I have is, what are your thoughts on the, I guess, perceived support from different corporations that are now trying to back the Black Lives movement, as far as like Amazon or Ralph Lauren or Apple and these different corporations that haven't really spoke out before, but now they're speaking. Do you think it's due to their bottom line being impacted, or do you?
Oh, you answered. You just answered. I've been trying to get a million strong. I think I was able to pretty much do that until a lot of things happened. A million strong. Let's take the network. If you're on the network and you got your own, take you down. So me of us sent a letter, 70 cents. Hell no, we're not taking it anymore. Just that mail that comes by truck, not email, not Twitter, none of that means nothing. That physical mail, you know how much mail that is? You ain't coming off that air. If, in fact, Burger King or McDonald's do something against us, we tell everybody that 1 million, shut them down. Don't go to them. Their bottom line dropped. Now they want to talk. If Verizon is charging you $100, I say, okay, go get a flip phone until I tell you to go back next week on Tuesday. All of a sudden, everybody, 1 million, just shut them down. So now they want to talk. I only want to pay $10. $10, hey, I got another million coming. So they'll make me sign an agreement that I will not bring another million. No, because when now I got 2 million, I'm going to go to AT&T. I'm going to go to the restaurant. So what hits their pocket is what shuts them down. So you're 100% correct. They know Amazon can be cut off right now. 10 million people, 20 million people, that's how many people around the world is saying, you don't help, we cut you off. Zinzibird and all them others, they know this is getting ready to happen because nothing like this ever happened before. You don't have to go teach an individual. It was the will of God why they all saying Black Lives Matter. So they're going to treat you different now. Forget those men in blue uniforms. We'll get them. We'll deal with them. But the major company, look at Michael Jordan, offered $100 million in 10 years. He was smart, never did that before. But Phil Knight, which I called today, he made a big mistake. He sent 10,000 worth of sneakers. We don't need no damn sneakers. We need economics. We need homes. We need jobs. So if you won't, if you little people, 30 million of you don't go to work, the economy just fell. So who's going to make the beds? Who's going to wash the dishes? Who's going to sweep the floors and the toilets? No, I'm high-faluted guys not. So this thing saw power unbelievable, and you can't get credit to me. You can't get credit to an individual. How did this happen the same way that academic? Same way that that virus, the same way with COVID-19. They shut us down. You can't go see your mother. Don't let her be in the hospital. You can't get in. But they hand you a bag with your mama in it to take to the grave. You can't even talk to your friends. They got you in fear. This is what they did in Russia, in London. This is the way they put everybody in slavery in China. This ain't nothing new. So we all scared. We all walk around with masks on. If you got your vitamin C, you're strong. You ain't catching nothing. But your vital organs got to be intact. But you protect your babies. You protect your mama. You protect, you don't be a fool and let them go amongst them. But I ain't worn no mask. Only mask I wore is when I went into a supermarket and I didn't want nobody to say, oh, he's, but this has been created in the lab. So So the way that brother talked about the 6-6 and the way he talks about what it is, yes. Yes, there's a world out there. But this, I'm going to leave you with this, Ali. You have a right to be a pimp. You have a right to be a dope dealer. You got a right to be a woman abuser. You got a right to do wrong. It's called temporary heaven for permanent hell. But if you do right and don't get involved in all that stuff, that mentality that they keep you, which is Satan, Satan gets you away from who you are, and you're a crown of creation. So God protects you if you're right. If you don't have no morals, you go to jail like Bill Cosby, because they get you with your morals. They get you when you find out you're a crook. They film everything. You being filmed right now. They film everything. But the Almighty Muhammad used to say, hey, tap my phone, film me, because all you're going to see is right. That's what I say. I don't fear nothing like that. All this technology. They trying now to either give you a tattoo in your arm so they know what you're saying 24/7. That's why you got to be careful with your baby. Get you a doctor that you can trust and don't put in your baby nowhere without his approval. Why? Because he knows the business. Well, we're going to create something like that. Hopefully I answer your question, that beautiful, gorgeous child you have. Oh, man. That's going to be the answer of cancer right there. You have to think that. You got to say, she's here for a reason. So you give her everything you want. I'm going to tell you something that I learned. I should have did. But, hey, my kids are all educated. But if you teach that baby how to read now, and the Caucasian came up with it, he said, put animals. So if you got a word that says dog, she going to go to the dog. She ain't going to say it. And you tell her, say, this is a monkey. She going to the monkey. This is a rabbit. She going to the rabbit. So that's how you teach them, because their brain is scientists. They are scientists. They always into something. As long as they ain't going to hurt themselves, let them go. They'll take an egg and bust it and think, what is this in that egg? But they scientists, it's we that stops them from being what they are. And when we feed the baby, don't feed them candy, don't feed them cake, because they don't want those vegetables. But if they never the vegetable, I mean the cake, they won't crave for it. It's like sex. I remember my daughter said, she's crying over that man. I said, of course she tastes the cake. Daddy! I said, listen. You don't let nobody enter into you unless it's your husband. If you don't teach that now, it'll never come. You got to teach the child. And the child is intelligent enough to pick up. And you don't speak to the baby, goo, 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 none of that. Theoretically speaking, young lady, that you do such and such, and then at one and a half, he's giving it back to you the same way you gave it to her. That's the way the brain works, came out the womb. What makes it so intelligent? What did she got that you and your wife didn't teach her? Did you teach her how to sneeze? Did you teach her how to cough? Did you teach her how to blink her eye? Did she teach you how to mush you away and tell you, I don't want no more, but yet you force it on her? She knows. She's gifted. All our children are gifted. A gift to the world. With that said, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to close out on this. I said I would be at 8:30, and I want to keep my promise. But is anyone out there I forgot? Warren, are you out there, Warren? Warren? I guess he's not out there neither. But I'm happy with those who did call and said they would be on. Sometimes things happen. It's time for prayer. We always can make up our prayer when you're talking about anything that the Quran supports. You praying. That's what prayer is. And then we go and make up our prayer. I'm from Muhammad, prayers, peace,
blessings.
Yeah. You want?
Yes, I'm here. Yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Hey, son, young man. This is a diamond merchant. How old are you, Warren?
47.
47, cutting stone, going buying stone, riding around in a beautiful, gorgeous Bentley. And he don't sell no drugs.
Rolls.
He don't sell no drugs. He don't do nothing wrong. And went to school, signed in Florida. He's from New York, to learn how to cut his own diamond. I have to say that. What's your question? Because we're closing out. I'm glad I got you.
A question I just wanted to ask was about, I have family members that's in church, and they ministers and pastors. They be trying to invite me to church, but I be telling them I can't go because I'm Muslim. I don't praise God like you do. I praise to Allah. We go praise on Fridays. So I want to know, is that a wrong thing to tell them, or is that the right thing to tell them?
Well, let me give you a scenario. Prophet Muhammad, prayers peace upon him, was chased out of his home called Mecca. And they wanted to kill him. He flew to Medina. He came to Medina to the church. The church was a Baptist preacher. So what can I do for you? We want Muhammad. We want to take his head because he believed in one God. He said, sure, I believe in one God. Now, common sense says that Baptist priests must have had a hell of an army because they was too afraid to try to take the prophet. So the prophet was in the church for 10 years and fell in love with the people in the church. And the people in the church loved him. They was Christians. And then the prophet was asked by the Baptist preacher, why don't you just build a masjid on this side of the land? The prophet said he didn't do it because he knew he would get all of his followers and he was merciful. So he went and fought the war. But when he was fighting the war, he told his nephew, take the women and the children and the Eliot over the Red Sea to another preacher. And when they came over there to get the nephew, they said, why do you want him? He killed a lot of our people. And the nephew said, yes, I did. But that was before my uncle taught us El-Islam, I don't kill no more. And that preacher of that Christian told them, you're not going to touch him. So why I say this? Prophet Muhammad, prayers, peace, father, said, if your mother want to go to church, put it on your shoulder and carry it there. I got one better. I'm putting together something unbelievable, but this comes from the Quran. He said, you Muslims in El-Islam, your house of worship and all houses of worship, meaning go fight for the Christians if anyone comes to attack their house of worship. That's the Jews' synagogue, and that's the church. Now, what is the church, brother? The church is men and women that have their way of saying God is great. We have no right to tell them what they do and what they don't. So I can go in that church, and I can sit in that church, enjoy the music because there ain't no hole in my soul, and I can hear that preacher. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to tell his minister, you want to learn how to preach? Go to the church. That's what he said, and you'll learn how to pray. Now, I'm going to use two, and show you why the church is, the book was created before the Quran. But the church says, Jesus said, feed my sheep. That's what he told his men. Feed my sheep. Feed them fish, feed them bread, That was first thing. Give them bread and give them fish and give them wine. Well, the fish represents water. That's knowledge. The Jews, the Italians will tell you, let's go break bread. That's knowledge, because you sit down and get to know one another.
Mm-hmm.
But how did Jesus turn water? They ain't called it any kind of water. It says still water. How did he turn still water into wine? That's a miracle. The Quran says, give them wine, but not hangover wine. So the wine is not what you think it is that man creates. Wine is your sensitive. Wine is your emotions. Wine is your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're sensitive and you get that knowledge, boy, you on another level. You fired up. Because his knowledge, that's the wine God is talking about in the Bible, in the Quran. It has nothing to do. They went and got real wine and started drinking it. So none of that is physical. Every tub must stand on its own bottom. Why do they say bucket? Because tub holds what? A lot of knowledge. And it must stand on its own bottom. The Quran says, it makes it clearer, every man stands their own 2 feet. Your mother can't help you in the day of judgment. Your father can't help you in the day of judgment. Your mother, your children can't help you. You must answer for yourself. What have you done for humanity? Well, I took care of my wife and children. I gave you a beautiful wife, beautiful children. What have you done for humanity? Well, I gave my cousin, my mother. I gave you a mama. You wouldn't be here. I gave you a daddy. It wasn't for a seed. You wouldn't be here. What have you done for humanity? That's the question. And when you tell God, I gave back to humanity, welcome to heaven, human. See, they don't teach that. So, yes, you're wrong. Go grab those men and women. And guess what? Because of the prophet's character, the whole entire country of Medina is Islamic. The whole country. Now, how that happened? Because of his character, his moral, his transparency, his honesty, his integrity. Like I told you, I said, go learn that diamond business. But don't do it for yourself. Do it so your people can buy the right stuff. Well, you're entitled to make no money, but you ain't tired to rip them off. And you say, yes, sir. So hopefully I answered your question. I'm going to close out. You got a right to make a mistake. Prophet made a mistake. He turned towards Jerusalem. That was a mistake. And then he learned, and God told him to turn towards the Qibla. He turned towards the Qibla. Well, the Jews called Jerusalem God's city, country. And God don't have no one country when he got the whole world, so no such thing. But it's material wealth there. You want material wealth, you go to Jerusalem. But the Kaaba was sent down like a lightning to earth. That's man's knowledge falling. So the Kaaba is for you to learn, for the prophet to teach us to come back to our senses because we're out of our mind. And Medina represents the man and woman that has came back to their taqwa. That's what the three all represents. So you had a right to not to know, but now I gave it to you, and you use it the way you should. I love my Christians. I go to church with them, and they come to the masjid with me. And I take them everywhere. When we made Eve, I had over 1,000 Christians came on Greyhound bus. And then when we put a show together where everybody's going to make money, the Christians and Muslims put it together, they said, what is all those limousines out there? They was Greyhound buses for the seniors or the Christians, and we was able to sell the building. That's what I do. And if we can get all of us to come together like Medina, came together with the prophet, like the country over the Red Sea came together. That's humanity. That's what Allah means, that we are all should be humanity. Because they're Muslims in their nature, brother. That you just got a gift, and you know how to practice the Quran. But they are practicing revelation. Yeah, Allah didn't come to tear up the revelation. He came just to move what you say about God. That's not true. All that other rhetoric, he don't bother with. You got it? Ladies and gentlemen, if I said anything to hurt anyone out there, I apologize from the bottom of my heart because that's not my intention. If I said anything that may be wrong, well, subhanAllah. Allah is the best known. But if I said anything, split any verb, well, your great educators out there that speak the language very well, I think you got my point. But I greet you from that if I said to you anything to allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your deen, al fitra, the nature in which you was created, stand up in your taqwa, your God conscious, your obedience to Allah, don't give me credit for that. That give credit to Allah. But I greet you from Adam, our original father. And I greet you from our father, Abraham, of the intellectual mind of all nationalities. And I greet you from Jesus Christ. Christ means Muslim. And I greet you from Prophet Muhammad, the seal of the prophet. May the peace and blessings be upon the prophet, his goodness, and his companion. And that's greeting all the prophets. As Yusuf told me a week ago, in 24,000 prophets. Well, we greet them by just saying the excellent salute to the Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. And I greet you from the Holy Quran, from the Quran. This ain't man's word. This ain't no Arab's word. This is Allah. As-salamu alaykum, I'm your host tonight. And tune in tomorrow because Eli Obey will be here teaching the Tashiyah of Imam Wallace Muhammad from 7 to 9. And then our beautiful sister, Michelle. Michelle Muhammad teaches how to eat to live. And then we will return on Friday with my beloved brother, Imam Musa, Muslim Abui, the great son of Booker T. Washington, will be on you for Juma because he comes from the Navy base. And then we'll be back on Saturday from 7 to 9, inshallah. Thank you. May God be with you. And we make a dua. Oh Allah, bless Greg Floyd. Separate his faults from his goodness as thou separate the east from the west and grant him paradise. And bless his family to stay strong. And bless all those out there that have the virus. May Allah bless them to get well, and if they leave here, may Allah bless them to make it to Jannah. Surely Allah Almighty speak the truth. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. Peace and love.
Alaykum salam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam.